Great. She's saving so much money each month that now she's going to be able to buy the lady in pink in the middle a MacBook Pro. All right. Enjoy your break. We'll be back. We will be back at 4:20, and we're going to get things kicked off. All right? Did you get your stretch on? Okay, here we go. I'm going to tell you about a couple handouts that are on the back. Super mega quick, because we are not going to make it commercial. But we do want to let you know that we're not here just to talk to you. We want to resource you and equip you. And so some of the things that we have on the back table are just some of the handouts that actually have come from webinars that we've done. We do a free webinar every month for centers and clinics, and we would love to have you join us for that. This particular one is fundraising, three prerequisites. So kind of fundraising 101. This handout was from a presentation we did on storytelling and four ways to communicate with your partners, four C's. You want to communicate concisely, consistently, clearly, and creatively. That handout is that. And we also have some information about the ministry health check that we talked about. So that's back in the back if you'd like more information about that. And then we have a really cool kind of an idea for your community. If you want to connect with churches in your community, we do an event that we produce at the HeartShare Group called Honor Event. And it's connected to the local church. It's connected to local Christian radio. And it's a way for you as a center and a clinic to be able to reach out to all the pastors in your community to invite them in for a free event, a free meal, breakfast or lunch. And we bring a speaker in, or we'll bring an artist in. Actually, Mike Williams is one of the comedians that we have this year at Honor Event for this year's series. And we do it in the fall, so it's tied around Pastor Appreciation Month. But we would love to help you connect better in your community. If that's something that would be helpful for you, we'd love to be able to share more with you. So there's 20 flyers back there. So the first 20 people that get that flyer, you'll have information about that. All right, let's dive in. Luke 14:23. I love the scripture when we talk about marketing and messaging. And it says this: the master said to the servant, go out and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. Now, of course, we're running centers and clinics, so it's not a church, but the same concept works. We want to go out into the community. We want to reach the girls. We want to reach the donors. We want to fill our centers up, our clinics up with who we're trying to target. But check the first part of that verse out. The master said to the servant, do you think of yourself as someone under authority? That is so important for who we are and where we are with the message and the opportunity that we have to build a brand in our community. That we're people under authority, that God has given us a call on our life, and that the Spirit fills us to be able to go out in the community and to serve others, to get that message out. That's something that we really, really constantly need to have on the front of our mind. Who knows this amazing logo? Starbucks! Everybody knows Starbucks. Why do you know that logo? Because it's everywhere, yeah. Starbucks has put billions with a B of dollars into their logo. It's really less about the coffee and more about the experience. Their CEO is a guy named Howard Schultz. And he created this idea called the third place concept. Has anyone heard of that? Can anyone tell me what it is? Yeah? Awesome. You don't count, sir. I'm sorry. Not because of your bow tie, though. It's because you're CareNet staff, and so you can't quite give it away. Anybody else? Third place? What do you think first place is? Customer? All right. Your first place is, I'll give you the first one. Your first place is your house or your home. Okay, so what's second place? Work. Third place is Starbucks. That's what he wants. Listen to this. He says, we are the third place in the lives of millions of our customers. We're the coffee that brings people together every day around the world to foster conversations and community. Now, personally, being a Christian, I think that would be awesome if that were for a local church. Jack, you're planting a church. Wouldn't that be a great kind of a vision to put out there? But it's connected to a coffee company. Isn't that crazy that they're spending so much time and focus on that? This is what you'll see in any Starbucks you go around the world. And you're going to smell the burnt coffee. You're going to taste the burnt coffee. They've got the smooth jazz playing in the background. They got the leather seats and the hardwood floors sometimes, or the brown painted cement floors. And you're going to walk up to the counter and they're going to say what? They're going to say, "Hi, welcome to Starbucks. What can we get started for you today?" It's going to be consistent in any and every Starbucks you go to. Chick-fil-A is another one. My pleasure, right? No, it's actually your pleasure. Thank you very much. It's your pleasure. Even McDonald's is getting on board. $4 is dumb. So it's kind of weird advertising, but like even they get Starbucks is doing something right, connecting in their communities. McDonald's, McCafe, we're now serving espresso too. All right, so let's talk about story and how audiences consume content. They consume content differently. You know, we're not watching the old family TV anymore. We're not sitting around listening to baseball, you know, being presented on the old wooden stereo console. It just doesn't happen like that. And so the question is, are you effectively telling your story? Everybody has a story. We all have a personal story. Our organization has a story. Our girls have a story. The babies that are saved have a story. Our donors have stories. The volunteers have stories. Our board members have stories. How did your board chair come to your center or your clinic? That's a story that you need to be telling. We all have stories. But are we effectively telling our story? I want us to dive into this, and this, I'll tell you right up front, this can be where I lose you this afternoon. So let's not let that happen. We're gonna enter into a partnership here. We're going to try to focus, and I'm going to try not to get into the weeds. But multi-platform delivery is a very, very powerful tool if you employ it well. And it is a free tool. And I did not create this tool. Jack did not create this tool. I actually stumbled upon this information several years ago initially. And through our time of connecting with ministries, we've kind of allowed it to evolve a little bit and changed up a little bit to some ministry best practices. But the initial information when we saw this was written by somebody that had put billions of dollars, $2 billion actually, dollars into this process of creating this concept of multi-channel delivery or multi-platform delivery. And it's super simple. We complicate it as people, but it's super simple. Here's what it is. It's one message or one piece of content presented over multiple channels. Okay? So if you look at this graphic up here, you can see things like your business card, you can see direct mail, webinars, email, video is up there, articles are up there, blogs, broadcast media, radio, TV, that sort of thing. All these different channels that we use to get the message out there. But the reality is, as clinics and centers, we are exhausted and overwhelmed because a lot of us work in small communities. And we have small teams, and sadly, we have small budgets. We're doing the biggest thing in the world. We're getting the gospel out there, and we're saving babies, but sadly, we have small organizations and small budgets. So we get overwhelmed. We think, how in the world am I going to tackle local radio and TV? How am I going to get my message out there that way? How am I going to get my message on web ads and print ads and blogs and articles and direct mail and all these different things? And by the way, I got banquet coming up. And I got baby bottles out there, and I'm supposed to try to collect those up. And then we've got this baby shower that we're supposed to do and get all these diapers in. And we just got a new board chairperson, and they've got their ideas that they're trying to get us to do. And our website's down, and I'm trying to figure out, how do I get away from bluefeatherbaby1984@hotmail.com? I'm just still trying to figure that out. This is one way that we can do it. I want to make this note real quick, too, that it works for saving babies, it works for connecting with girls, and it works for donors. So don't get overwhelmed by that. But going back to this graphic here, we looked earlier, somebody presented a need for retiring their debt. Somebody mentioned that to us as we're talking today. And so one of the ways that we might look at retiring our debt is we might think, well, you know what, I have an opportunity to be on the local TV newscast. And so they're going to do 2 minutes on our center. And so I probably need to really think about maximizing those 2 minutes of time. So what should I do? Maybe I should come up with some ideas, kind of some bullet points that I'd like to talk about. From those bullet points, maybe I should then write a blog or some sort of an article, post it on our social media. I need to direct people to that whenever we do this TV campaign. They're going to ask for more information. How do you go to what? Do you go to your website, or do you go to this, or do you go to that? So I want to have that in place already. And then at the end of that, they're going to give me an opportunity more than likely to get a clip of that, or I can go to YouTube and grab a clip of that two-minute interview. So here's what we would say. If you wanted to stay on message, you would come up with your solid bullet points for what you want to talk about to retire the debt of your building. You're excited about this opportunity that you have. And then you do the newscast. And then you take that clip, and for example, you would take the screenshot from the TV website or from YouTube or Vimeo or whatever. Well, now you can check off videos from that. And I mentioned that you wrote an article or a blog on your website. So now you can direct people to that, and you check that off your list. So now you've touched on two things, and it's still the very first piece of content. It's this interview that you've prepared for. Well, now you take that screenshot that we mentioned from YouTube or Vimeo or the news channel, and you pull that into your social media. And so you post that on your Facebook page. And from that, you take that link and you put that into your email blast, because you want people to click on that email blast, right? We talked about clicking and calls to action. And you could continue that on and on and on and on through this multi-channel delivery, so that you're taking this one piece of content, this one piece of information, and you're sending it out through all the different channels and all the different platforms that you have access to. Now, here's the question. What do you do with that now that you've pushed out all this information, all this content? Well, here's what you do. You want to direct everything back to your website. Remember I said it works for girls, babies, and donors. You need to have systems in place to measure. It's not good enough anymore just to say, hey, we're retiring our debt as a center. And you're on Christian radio and you're talking about that, or you're on local TV and you're talking about that. You need to have a means for people to be able to measure that. And no matter the platform that you're on, you have to give a call to action. So in that, you would also want to give a call to action. Go to our website and download our free blog. Or go to our social media page, click like, and sign up for our email newsletter. Or we have our banquet coming up. We'd love to have you come join us. And in fact, anybody that contacts us today, we have special VIP seating at our banquet. We'd love to have you join us at that. You have to give people an opportunity to respond, and you have to give people a call to action. So it's one message, and it's presented over multiple channels. Three things that you have to do. You have to be intentional and strategic when you do multi-channel delivery. You have to provide opportunities for people to respond, and then you have to measure their response. So I want to pause for just a second. I just went through that pretty quickly. I want to ask you honestly, what questions do you have about that? And if we need to back up and look at a slide again, we can certainly do that. But what questions do you have about what we just covered there for that moment? Okay. Yep.
You lost me when you posted on Facebook and when you talked about it going to email.
Okay. You can do either way. You can do either way. So, for example, with the YouTube clip of the video, you could actually grab that screenshot, and then you can link in your email blast, import that in as a picture, that they would then click on that picture, and the link that they click on when they actually click on that picture could take them to the YouTube channel that you have, or to the TV station's channel, or it could take them to an article on your website, or it could take them to your Facebook where they click like and then they can see that content. So it just really depends on how you want to create that experience for them. Good question, though. Yeah. Yep. Anybody? Yep. In the back?
How often do you change messaging? Like, how often would you do this in a month, in a year? You do one message presented over multiple channels.
Beautiful question.
2 weeks, 1 month.
Beautiful question. Beautiful question. So the question for the recording is, how often do you change that messaging that you're putting out there? The first thing I would ask you would be, and everybody in the room, would be, do you know your audience? So it depends on who you're messaging to. And once you've defined who that audience is, then you have to define what the message is going to be. And then you have to put the tools in place to know, is that message even connecting with that audience? And so email may be one thing. So MailChimp, for example, we talked about that before. Social media insights may be a different way, or metrics may be a different way to do that. Looking at your website analytics may be another way. So if 2 weeks have passed and you put this message out there and you've got it sent out through your different channels and it's all going to come back to your website so you can capture all those metrics, if it's not working, then you move on. You don't just keep waiting and waiting, hoping that someone's going to come. But if it is working, you may then look at, do you tweak it a little bit? Back to what we were talking about earlier about this A-B testing. Do you keep that initial message being pushed out there, but maybe introduce a new spin to it? Or do you have a new call to action, a new offer that you're holding forth, your value proposition to people that you're presenting an opportunity for them to respond to that? It may be, you know, for example, if you're talking about banquet and you may say, you're reaching out to business donors in your community and you're wanting to get them on board as sponsors. Well, if 3 weeks have passed and you've gotten, say your need was 10 new business sponsors and you've gotten 7, you didn't get all 10, but you're concerned, well, time is kind of passing, let's hold off on that and try something new. You could certainly move on to that, and certainly over several weeks period of time, or several months period of time, you could probably get those other 3 shored up. So that might be a different approach. It just really depends. The other thing that we would say is, going back several slides from earlier this afternoon, would be your promotions calendar and your communications calendar. So we would teach you to consider creating a campaign, okay? And so in your mind right now, I want you to picture a funnel. Remember the old hoppers or the funnel, the sieve, the colander, and you pour something into the top, and then it goes through like that. Consider creating this campaign. So when they jump into this one hoop and they've checked that box off, for example, then they need to go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. That might be a little bit overwhelming, but we can certainly talk more about that if you have a question on that. Good questions. Campaigns are really, really important, because ultimately what you're doing is you're directing them to click on or to respond in a fashion that you want them ultimately to follow through on. Yep. Yep.
How do you get it to come back through your website to, like, when you put stuff out on social media, how do you calculate it?
So if you had the article that I talked about, right, for example, and you wrote it on your blog, which is tied into your website, the metrics should be, if they're not, they should be connected to your website. So Google Analytics is a free service. So if they click on the link on Facebook, for example, you could use Bitly, like I mentioned earlier, bit.ly as a tool, or Owly, OW.ly. That would then go to your website, and you would be able to see from that point, where did they come into your website from? So they came in from Facebook, or they came in from Twitter or Instagram or whatever. What page did they click on? How long were they there? What was their bounce rate? You know, meaning, did they click on it and then immediately jump off? Or do they click on it and then they hang out there for a minute and a half and then go to this next page and this next page, that sort of thing? Yeah. And I would just be honest with you. I would just say, as ED, you don't need to be thinking about that, quite honestly. Jack, do you want to jump in on this? We need to be thinking at this point, we need to be thinking kind of, this is the overall overarching theme of what we need. We need somebody on our team, whether it be a board member or a college student or even a staff person, that can handle this for us. We're going to cast a vision. This is where we need to go. Kind of like what Jack was saying earlier about the pastor with the two people, a logistics person and a money person. As ED, this is where we're going as an organization. And then you need to find somebody to handle that so you're not overwhelmed, because that could be really overwhelming really quickly.
Yeah, you can quickly get overwhelmed. It goes back to the do, delegate, develop, design. So finding people that can do that. But again, all these tools, and again, passing the baton to volunteer, college student, maybe a success story, maybe a young girl that's come through your center, kept her baby, she loves what you guys do, and she's into social media, that's your target audience, that's a great, maybe a position to put her in to help. But you can get overwhelmed with this, to Isaac's point, real quickly. So don't add that to your plate. But again, these are some tools that will help you accomplish your vision. So whether it's communicating a debt, or somebody said they wanted to be more active in churches, because you want churches to get more involved with the center, to fund the center. So, you know, if you did a radio interview and you talked about your heart for churches, all that, this one message across multiple channels, it's like one We're great, especially type A personality and type triple A personality. If you get several merry-go-rounds running with several ideas, at the end of the day, all that's going to do is wear you out. So what this does is take one idea and send it out to everybody. So again, any of the things that a lot of you have mentioned as far as your vision, whether it's a banquet, whether it's a debt retirement, which he's using as an example, or reaching more churches, you could use that same concept across all these platforms. Because again, people receive content differently. So, you know, we talked about Facebook, how now kids are saying, well, my grandmother's on there, I'm bailing off of Facebook. So you've got to figure out, know your audience, which is key, and then target them with the tools that they're using.
And the other thing I would say is don't hear this presentation, and I really mean this, there's like two guys in here, so guys and mainly gals, don't hear this and go to the room tonight at your hotel, exhausted from pre-conference day. You've had supper, your Coke is wearing off, and you're like, okay, that guy said something about I need to get on my Facebook and talk about a TV thing for the debt and click on that link and go to the analytics page and a Woohoo and a Hootsuite and on top of that, MailChimp and a Boomerang and the Didgeridoo in Australia. I just need to take a cruise. You know, don't, please. Yeah, here's my resignation. Don't do that. Don't do that. Take this information, pray about it, let it soak in your mind. Seriously, let it soak in your mind. Get home and look at what you're doing currently. Take an inventory of where you are as an organization. I saw your hand. I'm coming back to you. Take an inventory of where you are as an organization today, and then plan for what do we want to look like, what do we want to message, who do we want to connect with, what kind of donors, what kind of this, what kind of that, and then plan it out on paper. That's the whole point of the communications calendar, is to be able to say, okay, what do we want to say, who are we trying to target, what tools do we need to employ to be able to get that message out there, and what's the hoped outcome? Guys, if you're not looking for what the outcome is, if you're not planning that outcome, ma'am, that goes back to your question in the back of the room when I was saying about kind of jumping through this hoop and that hoop. If you don't know where you want them to go, you're lost. You might as well just be done. I mean, you need to think that through in advance, and that's the whole point of creating campaigns. Yep.
Right. Support us that much more. But if one of my clients comes across that, how does that make, not that it was her story, but we're kind of, I guess that's a struggle I feel like we always have.
That's, yeah, so the question for recording is how do we kind of differentiate between branding and messaging and marketing to clients versus donors or ministry partners? First off, I would say you have to operate with integrity. So if you're going to tell her story, you need to have her permission to tell her story, especially if it's a picture or, you know, her first name or whatever like that. So, you know, if she needs to sign a little waiver or whatever, certainly cover all the, in a more general. Right.
Her story, but just in a general sense, when we're talking about, you know, saving babies and we're talking about all
right.
these things, you know, then you have your maybe post-abortive woman who's then, I guess I'm just trying to figure out a way to
It's almost like marketing schizophrenia. It's almost like you have to have four marketing departments within your organization because you have to know, you know, for example, targeting girls, you have to know what it is that she wants to hear or needs to hear, what your message is going to be to her, and then donors. So you may actually, seriously, you may actually have multiple people within your team that we are branding and marketing to girls. So you may have client-targeted websites, for example, which is a service, not to make this commercial, but it's a service that HeartShare offers, specific websites with specific copy tied to specific scripting when the girls call in to the center, to the clinic, that's connected specifically to going after girls. And then you might have, which you should, have those websites, and then you need to have your donor site. So you may have different marketing plans specifically for donors and girls. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. That's so important, because if you don't do that, you could really get yourself in a jam. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But really, we want them, it's more the message is important, not necessarily the
Yes.
Yeah. So you got to know where they're shopping, quote unquote. You know, your client is not shopping where your donor's shopping, and I don't mean buying goods. I'm talking about, you know, she is, and we're going to look at some pictures here and talk about that in a second. She's hanging out on her phone. You know, she is not listening, more than likely, she's not listening to local Christian radio, or she's not shopping at Lifeway Christian stores or Family Christian stores. She and her boyfriend had a great night last night, and she is freaking out right now. So, yeah, you got to know where you're going to target the two types of folks. I think there was a question back here.
I was just going to speak to the question before.
Yeah.
We debate, I mean, we went through that process a few years ago, really struggling with that same thing. And we went through a rebranding, and when we did, we actually branded like our overall center, and then we branded our clinic. Mm.
Yeah.
And so really what happens is one is totally for donor and one is
that's so good.
For clients.
Yeah.
One is overtly Christian and very clear about our vision. One is much more subtle, still where faith
yes.
is clinic, that's not hidden. But we don't use faith language, you know, religious language.
Yeah. Yes. So for the recording, our friend is saying that they have two different entities completely. They have their entity for girls and they have their entity for donors. They have different names. They have different logos, different websites, all that. And we would applaud you. I mean, we think that is great. We think that is right on. We think you're being strategic. You know, that goes back to an achievable strategy for success, which is our whole day together today. Is knowing what it is that you're going to message and who you're going to message to. Because branding, this is why I love Jack. He's my brother. I mean, we travel all the time. We do this, and it's so much fun. It's so much fun doing what we do. Branding and marketing needs fundraising, and fundraising needs branding and marketing. We're peanut butter and jelly. I mean, the two go hand in hand. You have to know who you're messaging to, and you have to know what you're messaging, because then comes the fun part of money, right? Then you need money to do ministry and discipleship. So, very good. I want to show you, and I see some other hands. We got plenty of time for questions, so don't worry. I'm going to show you, can I say your name? I just looked at you. Jerry's card. And I'm not beating up on Jerry. I think this is, I told her earlier, it's a cute card. Air quotes, cute card. And it was, you said it was designed by an 80-year-old? Precious.
Before I go.
Saint of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, anyway, it's got a little heart on it, and it's got a sun and a rolling meadow. And she was knitting while she did this, right? Yeah. So do you give this to girls and to donors, to partners?
No, just donors.
Okay. You know, our friend Mike Williams, and you probably have heard him speak. You may even have had him come to your center or your clinic, but he does a beautiful job of this and talking about even like the signs, the stickers, you know, in the stalls and the bathrooms. I mean, you got to get that personal of putting up stickers and really targeting the girls and really connecting with them. The websites that we design are not faith offensive, but I wouldn't say they're faith friendly. I mean, they're just kind of bland. They're kind of generic. The reality is these girls are freaking out, like I said earlier, you know. And so what do you have to do to get their attention, to get them on the phone first, and then to get them in your center or your clinic? And once they're in the building, again, operate above board, full integrity. But once they're in your facility, then you can share the gospel with them. And we want you to, and you should, absolutely. You just have to know who you're targeting, you know. You have to know what your message is and your audience and how they're responding to that, so. Great questions. Was it, ma'am? Was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is, how do we know what our girls are using? Or, for instance, we're in a very small town.
Okay.
70% of our girls are homeless.
Okay.
They might have phones.
small town, 70% of your girls are homeless. Okay. Okay.
They might have a phone. Most of them do. I don't know how they do if they're homeless, but they do.
Sure.
How do we find out where, what's going to be the best, you know, bang for the buck, if that's, may I say it that way, to get, how do we know what venues they're using that would be best for us to use to get the message to them?
How do we know the best way to connect with girls, yeah, these girls? Yeah.
If you're a small center and you're growing, you're trying to figure out, you know, everything's been done the same way for, you know, 10, 20 years. You know, mm-hmm. I come in and now, okay, we need to get out of this stalemate we're in, we need to grow, we need to get, how do you find out whether, what's the best venue or venues to use to reach these girls?
I'm not an overly spiritual person, but I got a spiritual answer. Is that okay? Jesus was talking to his disciples one day, and he asked them the question, who do people say that I am? And they gave all these answers. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. And of course, we know that Jesus then turned to them and said, but who do you say that I am? I think the great thing about that story for me, you know, and being serving sinners like you do, is I think the question Jesus asked was pretty important. All the questions in that passage were important. But when he asked them, who do people say that I am? There's a lot inferred in that. And the inference is you're out there among the people who don't know me. So you're probably overhearing what they're saying. And again, not to put this on the back of you guys as center directors, because you can't do everything. But we've got to, again, can't see the forest for the trees. We've got to either get out from behind our desk or find people on our team that can kind of be our spies, so to speak, and find out what people are doing. We had a similar question with a center in Michigan, I think it was, a few months back. And we asked the center director, why don't you create what we called a poor man's focus group and get some teenage girls, again, either past success stories, and be straight up with them. I mean, don't lie. Be transparent. Hey, you came here. You were thinking about ending this pregnancy. You didn't. Praise God. Maybe they've even come to Christ. You know, we need your help. We need you to help us. And put together, and I would say this should be an ongoing, one of your ongoing systems and processes you have in place for your center, is that you have this focus group, and it could be local college girls. You know, if you get youth group girls or church girls, you're probably some parts of me says you're probably going to get your answer slanted one way. But yet we all know the statistics that those young ladies in church, their behavior is not too much different than those outside of the church. So you may get some, you may be in the ballpark at least. But if you can get that age demographic, your target demographic of a poor man's focus group to find out where they are, that may help. That may help a little bit. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Right.
But we have two girls and two boys as seniors and two girls and two boys as juniors. So we can get the boys' input as well.
That's good.
Awesome.
That's really
fantastic.
Good.
Good.
Very
yeah.
good. Very good. Yes.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if they're homeless. It doesn't mean you're living under the bridge. It means they're just jumping from one friend to the other, and they still have a friend.
Good stuff, you guys. That's really good. What'd you say?
I said it was good.
Oh, yeah, that is good. They are looking at their phones. You're right. And they're on social media, ma'am, to your question. You know, so you just need to find out what kind of the trending channel is, you know, for the age range. And don't forget there's, you know, 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds that are dealing with these issues as well. But more than likely, the teen demo to young adult, you know, college-age demo, she's on Instagram. So if you don't know that yet, you might want to write that down. Set up a free account and figure out how to use it. Instagram.com, Instagram.com. She's on Snapchat. SNAPCHAT, Snapchat. Again, free account. You can do that. She's on probably Facebook. The older girls are going to be on Facebook still. The younger girls may not be as active on Facebook. You know, but there's different channels out there that they're on. But yeah, set up an account and just look. You know, just look at what some of the girls are doing in your community. It's crazy. It's crazy. Positive, negative, or indifferent, your brand is having an effect. I love this picture because it is the same beautiful woman. Look at her face on the left. Don't look at the middle or the right. How do you feel when you see her teeth like that, and her lips clenched up, her eyes, and then in the middle, and then on the end, same woman. Your brand is having an effect. Hello, I'm a millennial. A lot of people are talking about millennials right now in ministry, and these are going to be tough slides to see. I apologize that the font is very small. Just one slide about her as a client, and then one slide about her as a donor, because millennials give as well. Top right hand, little red box around it says, demand an integrated, seamless experience regardless of channel. 68% is the number there. They want a seamless online experience, and they want it with their phone. Bottom here says, if there are barriers or delays, they will happily go elsewhere. Convenience is key. And when we talk about going elsewhere, they're probably not going to go to another center in your community, right? They're probably going to whatever the alternative is in your community, Planned Parenthood or elsewhere. And then in the bottom, the need for digital customer service when they surveyed 20 millennials, 72% said they prefer a website that answers questions quickly over a call center. So think about it in the work that we do. She wants to go to your website and schedule an appointment. Or she wants to go to your website and hit the fax section and get her questions answered. 79% tell friends about bad experiences that they've had, bad customer service experiences. And 51% experience will switch to a new company after a bad customer service experience. So if it doesn't work well with you, they're going to let their friends know about that, is basically what that slide talks about. My biggest pet peeve is when I don't know how my gift will make a difference. Millennials give too. And so don't think that just because they're in the age range of being a client that they're not willing to give. If they have a good experience, they are willing to give. And if they are in the church, for example, and they're not looking to you for your client services, they may really champion your cause. They may really love what you do and want to support what you do. So please don't ever discount that. They are great for volunteers. Absolutely. Yeah, and they'll connect with the demo that you're trying to go after. She is scared. She needs you, and she's being targeted. Now, this next quick section here is crazy. I'm just telling you straight up. It is crazy. Ma'am, you're brand new, 5 days old in the industry. 5 days old in the industry. All right, here we go. We're going to rock your world. You ready? Planned Parenthood, here we go. We're your sexual partner. This is Planned Parenthood's branding. We're your friend with benefits. We're your morning after. We're your afternoon delight. We're your sexual experience. We're your quickie. Wow. Come again? What? Talk about branding. So here's the question. Are you on the defense or are you on the offense? Now, here's some of their sub wording here that you can't really read, sadly, in the back. I'll read it for you. We're your sexual partner. Now, listen to the copy. I love writing good copy. Listen to this copy. We're your sexual partner, experts who listen, answer without judgment, and never freak out. Okay? We're your friend with benefits, Planned Parenthood, discreet sexual health services with no strings attached. We're your morning after, an open-minded environment for emergency contraception and conversation. Man, that's a good copy. We're your afternoon delight. Flexible sexual health appointments when you're in the mood. We're your sexual experience. Sexual health experts with answers, knowledge, and advice. We're your quickie. Convenient sexual health appointments with respect and privacy. So this is how they're branding. This is how they're messaging. They're going after the girls. They are targeting the girls. And they're actually, sadly, they're doing a great job. Do you agree? They're doing a great job. And so my question again is, are you on the offense or are you on the defense? Is your staff on the offense or are they on the defense? Has your staff ever seen this before? Has your board ever seen this before? Have your donors ever seen this before? And here's the reality. If you Google, and you should if you haven't, I encourage you to do so. Look at what they're saying about us as an industry. They hate us. They speak about us with vitriol. They absolutely hate who we are and what we stand for. But this is the messaging that they're putting out. Okay? Can I show you their Facebook? You want to look at their Facebook? All right, this is going to be really eye-opening. This is their Facebook, not mine. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? All right, here we go. Here's their Facebook. Candy, isn't that cool? I love hard candy, don't you? Okay, that's not candy, by the way. Those are condoms. Bright, multicolored condoms. That's their Facebook. All right, let's drill in a little bit closer in. So here's that picture. If you click on it, there are 5.4 thousand likes and hearts and smiley faces on it. That picture and its comments have been shared 103 times. This is as of July 1st. Planned Parenthood, here's the comment. Planned Parenthood is still the only place I've seen multicolored condoms. This is posted by somebody on their Facebook. A comment is made. So Planned Parenthood responds back and they say, we love multicolored condoms oh so much. And somebody else said below that, taste the rainbow, LOL. A play on Skittles, I guess, taste the rainbow. Sad, y'all. They have no bars about what they're saying. I mean, they're getting their message out there. And so the question is, if that's what they're doing with their message, what more should we be doing with our message? Bible says that we're a chosen generation. Your girls that you're going after, your donors, a chosen generation. We're called out of darkness into the light. We have the greatest gift to be given. The absolute greatest gift to be given. And it's the gospel. And it's a privilege to be able to do what we do. Do you pinch yourself when you wake up in the morning, knowing what you do and the message that you possess? It's awesome. What a privilege to be able to do that. But guys and gals, look at what the competition is doing. I hope it makes you sick in your stomach just a little bit.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Bless our week in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.